April 4th, 2017.
The most important mitzvah on Pesach is missing by us. We don't have the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from the Novi that when the Shalma Forim Sosena, when you don't have the opportunity to actually bring a Korban, at least you should review the Dinim. And our HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if we fulfilled that mitzvah. So Chofetz Chaim claims that this idea of a neshama farm sosena only applies to korbanos. Doesn't apply, let's say a person is in Siberia and he doesn't have matzah, so you don't have a lulav, so you learn the dinim of matzah, you learn the dinim of lulav, be considered as if you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah lulav, that not. The Mabit thinks that it applies to all mitzvahs as well, any mitzvah that you're unable to fulfill, at least you should learn the dinim. But the korbanos for sure, the Gemara says it certainly applies to korbanos. So I thought maybe I'll talk a little bit about the Korban Pesach, because we're unable to bring the Korban Pesach bisman hazeh. Korban Pesach has a lot of unique dinim that don't apply to any other korban. One of the dinim is that the Pesach is nechal b'chabura. The Mishnah says in Ezer Mekayman, it's printed before Baruch Shama and the Siddur, Pesach ena nechal ela l'menuyav. At the time that you shech the Korban Pesach, you have to know in advance who is going to eat? Who are going to be the shutvim in the Korban Pesach? We start off the Seder with the statement, Kol Dichvin, whoever is starving, Yesav Yechel, we invite them to come and eat. Then we say, Kol Ditzrich, Yesav Yisach, whoever needs a little Korban Pesach. We announce the night of Pesach, as if this was announced with Machabis HaMikdush HaYekayim. We announce right before the Seder, whoever has to eat a Korban Pesach can eat by me. That's not correct, Al Pidin. You can't invite a person the last minute after you already shechted the Korban Pesach. That's a beferish din. Pesach nechal elal menuyav. You have to be memuna on the Korban Pesach in advance before you do the shechitas haPesach, and that's called the chabura. The whole group that eats together is called the chabura. There's one Tana is of the opinion. We don't paskin like this. One Tana is of the opinion. Every Korban Pesach must have a chabura. The Korban Pesach is a very tiny animal. Has to be merakfasim and menuizim, either a lamb or a sheep or a goat, and has to be bashnasa before the first birthday. And usually they're born in the springtime. So you have to wait till it's 8 days old, and they're very tiny, and there isn't so much flesh on the lamb chops. The Gemara says that on one occasion they wanted to take an approximate census of how many Jews there are. So they counted up how many Korbanos Pesach were brought that year, and they assumed that they had at least 10 people mamun on each Korban Pesach. You should have had 100 people mamun. The answer is, it's a tiny animal. It was just born a week ago. You can't bring the Korban before the 8th day. That's a din on all Korbanos. Yom HaShemini V'Holi, you're out to the Korban Isha Hashem, but you can't wait till next year. If it's already a year old, then it's Pesach Shavu Shnasa as possible. So they had slightly over 10 people. Each Korban Pesach had 10 people would be shutzim. So let's say there's one person, a big person, he enjoys eating lamb chops, he wants to bring the Korban Pesach on his own and eat everything, he doesn't want to have any shutzim. So we paskin that you're allowed to do that. It's not a smart thing to do. He's going to eat so much, maybe he won't be able to finish eating all of that. He'll overeat. It's not healthy either. But so one time is of the opinion, Eina Pesach Nishchat, you're not allowed to shech the Korban Pesach on a yochid. Every Korban Pesach must have a chabura. You have to have a group of people who mamun on the Korban Pesach. It's interesting. Rav Soloveitchik used to say in his droshes that this is an aspect of cherus. You have a din. It says by the Akedah, when Avram Avinu was going to do the Akedah, so he tells the two Ne'orim, the two Eved Kenaini that he had, so the Gemara says, we learn out from that pasuk that an Ebekneini is considered Am Hadoy Malachamor. In what sense is an Ebekneini Am Hadoy Malachamor? So the Gemara says that it means two things. Number one, that there's no Tvisis Kiddushin. An Ebekneini is Mekadosh Anisha, whether Yisraelis or a Nochris or a Shivcha Kneinis, the Kiddushin is not Chal. He can't be married. And number two, he has no Yachas to his children. We have a din in the Gemara, let's say a non-Jew had a family before he converted, and then he becomes a Yisrael. So there's a machloikis, and the Gemara is the Gershon, his Geyer, and fulfillment of the mitzvah, Piri B'Rivya, with the children that he had ben Achri Yusa. So we pass on like Rabbi Yechon, Machlekes Rabbi Yechon Mishlokish. We pass on like Rabbi Yechon and Shulchan Aruch. The first siman in Eben Ezra is about Piruv Rivia. So we pass on that a Nochrish and his guy was Yotze Piruv Rivia with the children that he had before. The two opinions, whether it's only if the children converted also, or you're even a fulfillment of Piruv Rivia with the non-Jewish children who remain non-Jewish. That's a Machlekes how to understand the line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, if this guy Rahabonim, some interpret only if Nizgai Rahabonim, if they remain non-Jews, you're not in fulfillment of Piruv Rivia. And the Vilna Goyen and Maral Miprag and others interpret even Nizgai Rahabonim. If Lo Nizgai Rahabonim, he's certainly Yotze Piruv Rivia, even Nizgai Rahabonim. So he's Kikot Nishanol Adami, he moved away from them. And they're Kikot Nishanol Adami, they moved away from him, so each one moved away from the other one. Kikot Nishanol Adami, he's still Yotze Piruv Rivia. So the Gemara says, this Omachlekis, whether they Gersh and his Geir is in fulfillment of Piruv Rivia with the children, Shoyolo ben Achri Yuso, that's only if he was a Nochri before. What if he was an Eved and he had children from a Shivcha Knainis and then he's Nishtachre and then he's freed? The Gemara says there, all the Amorim will agree that he's not in fulfillment of Piruv Rivia because the children are not Mesiachis Achrov, and they quote the Pasuk, Shuvulachan Pat Machamor Amadom Achamor. So the Tosis in Gittin points out these Gemaras at the end of Kiddushin. Tosis in Gittin shows a Gemara there in Hashalech that these two dinim are interconnected. Eben ein lo yachas is that there's no tvisis kiddushin, and the children are not misyachas, has no brothers, sisters, there's no kurv at all. The Eved al pidin stands alone. Now, so there she gave a whole arichas why psychologically it has to be so. But they're leaving out the psychology. The halacha says like that, Eved stands alone, is not mitzarif to anybody else. And then, Bnei Yisrael were granted chayrus, Pesach is man chayrus saying, we're no longer avodim. So we became a tzibur. We have a shaychus with each other. You can be mitzarif 10 people to make a minyan. Klal Yisrael is mitzurif together. So that's why the Korban Pesach is the one and only Korban that means a chabura. There's a concept of chabura. By other Korbanos, there's no concept of chabura. There's a concept of chabura here to draw the contrast between the avdus and the chayrus. That when we were avodim, we had no yachas to anybody. And after we became binachorin, we have yachas to other people. So Leitchik suggested maybe that's why we emphasize Kol Dichven Yesev Yechov at the beginning of the Seder. That's also an element of Cheirus, that we have a Shaychus B'tozim and we feel a responsibility for others, and we feel an obligation to give Tzedok. So this is one of the unique dinim that Korban Pesach has. Doesn't apply to any other Korban. It's Eina Nechal Ela L'Menuyev. You have to have a Chabura who are joining together to eat the Korban Pesach. There's a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch and the Brisker Rav and the Sefer HaChumash discuss what's the definition of Lemenuyev. It means they have to be Shutvim and Dinim Ominis, they own a Shutvis in the Korban Pesach. Or no, whoever is shechting the Korban Pesach has to have a piece of paper with a list of who's going to be eating it. Just have to plan out in advance who are going to be the people eating the Korban Pesach. But you're not required that everybody should have an ownership, partial ownership. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that there seem to be Gemaras that contradict each other on this point. Whether Lemenuyev requires Kinyonim, or just to have in mind who plans to eat the Korban Pesach. Rabbele Soloveitchik in the Sefer HaChumash quotes a comment made by the Mechilta on the Pesach. Mishchu u'kulachem tzon v'shachatu ha'posach. They were told that they should shech the Korban Pesach in Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Mechilta, written by the Tanoim, Mechilta says, Mikan, from this word Mishchu, we derive that a behema daka is niknes b'mishicha. How are you kind of behema? By pulling it. Why did the Tanoim learn out from this pasuk Mishicha? So Rav Dovel explains, because you need lemenuyav, you have to have a chabura, and the Tanoim obviously think that you only called the mamuna on the Korban Pesach if you have a shutfis. So they said, Mishcho is milosh Mishicha, that a behema daka is niknes b'mishicha. But the Minchas Chinuch points out that there are Gemaras that seem to be contradictory regarding this issue. How does one become a mamun on the Korban Pesach, whether you actually need a kinyan, or just that they have you in mind at the time that they're shechting? Then the Pesach has another special din, only applies to the Korban Pesach. Etzem loisij berubo. By other Korbanos, there is no such din. You're not allowed to break a bone in the Korban Pesach. The Pashta says that this is because he's supposed to eat Korban Pesach like a wealthy person. poor people who can't afford flesh, so once a year they're going to have a fleshig meal. So they're going to chew all the bones and eat up all the marrow inside the bones and swallow as much as they can. And we have to, on Pesach now, we have to act like gvirim. Gvirim a lot of times leave over half the steak.
Right.
And so that you're not allowed to do. Lo says men rabek, you're not allowed to leave over. You have to make sure that you have enough people to eat up all of the flesh of the Korban Pesach. But you're not allowed to break any bones. That's kapzonish. That's what anim would do. You're not allowed to break the bones. The Gemara has a din that the Korban Pesach is nechel al hasova. So Tosis interprets that to mean that you eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. First you eat the whole meal, then you eat the Korban Pesach at the end. You shouldn't eat the Korban Pesach achila gasa. If you're so stuffed that you don't want to eat anything, and then you force yourself to eat the Korban Pesach, so that's a shaila in Tosis. Maybe you're not even yotzeh the Korban Pesach. Maybe you yotzeh, but it's not the hida mitzvah. But that's not the same thing. If you're stuffed and you eat achila gasa, that's not proper. Either you're not yotzeh, or b'diavad you are yotzeh. We were talking, should be nechal alasov. You shouldn't eat the Korban Pesach in the beginning of the meal when you're still hungry. So Tosis quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi as explaining this din. Why should you eat the Korban Pesach in the end of the meal? If you're going to start eating the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal, there's a hashash of shviras etzem, because the bones are very soft. The behemoth was just born a week or two ago. So the bones are still soft, like a baby, when a little baby is born. So the bones are soft. Bones become harder later. And you can't wait till next year. It'll be over shnasa, Pesach, shavu shnasa is puzzle. You're not yotzei the mitzvah. So this special din of of shviras etzem is the reason why the Pesach is nechal al hasova at the end of the meal. That's in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they had an institution. On Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, they used to bring three karbonos. The Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga quotes a Tosefta from Chagiga. Gimel mitzvahs nitztav Yisrael baliyosam laregel. When they were oil regel, they were obligated to bring three karbonos. One is oil sriya, one is shalmei Chagiga, and one is shalmei simcha. So the shalmei Chagiga had to be brought on Pesach. If you bring the shalmei Chagiga on Erev Pesach, even though you can eat it shnei yom and v'layla echad, you can eat it on Pesach, you're not yotzei the shalmei Chagiga. The shechita has to be bizman simcha. The shechita has to be on Pesach. Nonetheless, on Pesach, there was an institution of Chagiga Sarba Osa. In addition to the Chagiga that they brought on Pesach, either on Yontav or on Chol HaMoed, there was another Chagiga that they brought on Erev Yontav, Erev Pesach, on Shavuos and Sukkot. We didn't have this. Only on Erev Pesach, there was Chagiga Sarba Osa. So that's a big machlekes hatanoim, bizman abayis. Is that learned that from a pasuk? That's a real din deraisa, chagigas arba osar, or is it only a takanim midirabbanan? If it's a takanim midirabbanan, what motivated our chachamim to introduce this? So that's what Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi. First, eat the chagigas arba osar, so that you'll be half full, so that you'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach in the end. You won't be starving, so there won't be a problem of shvira setzim.
And it's a bigger animal, right?
It could be a bigger animal, right? The Tanna who thinks that Chagigas Arba Osar is a din deraisa, so the Gemara says according to him there's a prohibition of Shmiras Etzem even on the Chagigas Arba Osar. Mm-hmm. Has all the din, it has to be tzli. Any other karbonis you can eat tzli, shalak, mavushal, however you enjoy it, smoked, fried, whatever. Korban Pesach and nechal el tzoli has to be dafka broiled. So the Tanna who thinks the Chagigas Arba Osar has learned that from a pasuk. It's a din deraisa. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, we today don't have Korban Pesach. And we say, Manishtana, we only have four questions. But Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKayim, there were five questions. They used to ask, Shabbachal HaLeilas HaNochlein Basa Tzli Sholok HaMavushal, eat cooked food, cooked flesh, whatever kind of cooking. HaLeil HaZeh Kulo Tzli. Tonight we eat, everything is Tzli. Why is everything Tzli? The Chagigas HaBasa is not Tzli. The Gemara says the Mishnah goes like that Tana that we don't pasken like. Mishnah goes like that Tana that the Chagigas Habasa is a din deraisa. Learned that from Sukkim, and just like Korban Pesach has to be tzli, so the Korban Chagiga has to be tzli also. That's why the Yisrael says Kalayla is a kula tzli. All the flesh is brought. So the Gemara says according to that Tana, it could well be. They're not sure. We don't pasken like him. According to that Tana, it could well be that there's an Isra of Shvira Setsim even on the Chagigas Habasa. He learns it out, so it's not for the purpose of having a Korban Pesach, Nechal al-Hasov at the end. There's a lot of shvira setzim and a chagigas abos as well. A pasuk. The pasuk says you should bring a korban pesach tzoin or bakar. Tzoin is behema daka and bakar is behema gasa. Korban pesach is not a behema gasa. Korban pesach is menakvasim and menaizim. It's only behema daka. Behema daka is a 5-month pregnancy. Behema gasa is a different animal. It's a 9-month pregnancy. So how does the pasuk say you should shech the pesach tzoin or bakar? So one Tana says the tzon is the korban pesach and the bakar is the chagiga sabosa. He shecht them both on erev pesach. We don't pass like that. We pass on chagiga sabosa lav deraisa. It's only for the purpose of eating the korban pesach ala sova, and it does not have to be tzli, and there's no lav of shvira sets. The Rambam quotes that din that the korban pesach is nechal al hasova. But he interprets it differently. He doesn't say like Taisus, you have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. You have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal is another din. It's a different reason. Out of Chavivas HaMitzvah, you should eat the Korban Pesach last and maintain the flavor of the flesh in your mouth when you go to sleep. That's a different reason. That's Midrabbanan, that's not Minatorah. So the Rambam learns that Pesach is nechal ala sova means a different din. Whereas, when there's a mitzvah to eat something, matzah, mor, it's enough to eat one kazayis. Eat one kazayis on matzah, one kazayis on mor. So one would have thought that it's sufficient to eat one kazayis of the Korban Pesach. So the Rambam says you have to eat the Korban Pesach kedei lizboa mimenu. You have to eat two kazayis, kedei lizboa mimenu. What is that all about? What do you have to have kedei lizboa mimenu? So the Rambam says to demonstrate that bizman shebeis hamigdush ha'ikayim and you're eating three different things, eating pesach, matzah, umaror, you want to demonstrate that the ikar, the most important of these three, is the korban pesach. So the way you demonstrate it is by having two kezesim. Why is that the way to demonstrate? So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a businessman in Europe. And he wrote a fascinating work, 3-volume set, on the poem that Rav Sadia Gaon wrote, a poem where he lists off all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. In the days of the Gaonim and the days of the Rishonim, they had a meaning that used to, some of the Sephardim still do it today, the Ashkenazim don't do it anymore. They used to recite a poem on Shavuos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah where they rattled off all the 613 Mitzvahs. Sometimes they would classify the 613 mitzvahs in the order of the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos. So they would lay, instead of saying Agdamas, or in addition to saying Agdamas, so they would lay the first of the Aseres HaDibros and then rattle off a piyut, the poem that had all the mitzvahs that are classified under that heading. Then they would read the second and the third, each one of the Aseres HaDibros they would read. So they would continue reading the poem that has all of the, or the Rashi and Chumash quotes Rav Sadia Gaon. This is the Rav Sadia Gaon who wrote this piyut. Rav Sadia Gaon says that the Aseres HaDibros are the 10 basic headings that all of the 630 mitzvahs can be classified under, can be subsumed under these headings. And they wrote piyutim like that. So this Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a businessman. He was a fantastic baki. And all the piyutim, he quotes all the poems from the Balei HaTosfos. So he tries to figure out what's the secret, what is the code to figure out when Rav Sadia Gaon counts it as a mitzvah, when not. The Rambam gives us all the klolim. The Rambam, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam, he lists off 14 rules and regulations that determine what belongs in the Sefer Mitzvahs, when you count it as one mitzvah, when you count it as several mitzvahs. Rav Sadia Gaon doesn't tell you what the secret is. How do you know what to count, what not? So this Rabbi Yeruchim Perla tried to figure it out. So he has an essay on this Rambam, why the Rambam says you eat twice as much instead of eating one kazayis of Korban Pesach, one kazayis of matzah, one kazayis of mor. The Rambam says you eat two kazayis of kedei lizboa mimenu. So he gives you a source from the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah says that on a Rosh Hashanah there's a mitzvah to blow shofar, and on a Taina Siba there's a mitzvah to blow chatzitzes. It says in the Chumash, "B'chisav v'mochamah bi'artzechem al atzaras haras mahariyosem b'chatzaitzros." You know they have the picture of Rabbi Gorin blowing shofar. Originally, he blew shofar at the beginning of the war, He said, that's the din. It's supposed to blow chatzaitzvahs. Shofar chatzaitzvahs. Kisavim Muhammad b'yartzchem. Shofar is a form of tefillah that the Rebbeinu Shlom should help us in the war. And then after they conquered Yerushalayim, then the first shofar he got from his father-in-law, from the Nazir. So that, I think, was blown up in the jeep that he jumped out of. And that shofar was destroyed. And that was a different shofar that he blew after Kibbush Yerushalayim. But originally he took the shofar from his father-in-law because there was a milchama. And the Chumash says you have to blow a shofar in the middle of a milchama. And you have a milchama. So the Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah the mitzvah in Chumash is to blow shofar. And on Tanis Sibah it's a mitzvah to blow chatzotzos. In the Beis HaMikdosh we have a pasuk b'chatzotzos with kol shofar hariyo lefnei HaMelech Hashem. Pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara understands from that pasuk that when you're in the Beis HaMikdosh and the Harabayis, whenever there's shofar, you have to have chatzotz, and whenever there's chatzotz, we have to have shofar. So in the Beis HaMikdash, on Rosh Hashanah and on a Tainis Sibah, they blew both simultaneously. On Rosh Hashanah, they would have one person blow shofar, two people on either side would blow chatzotzra simultaneously, and then the chatzotzos would stop blowing, and the Baal Tekeh who's blowing the shofar would continue to blow longer to demonstrate Shemitzvah Sayyayim b'shofar. Since the Ika mitzvah is the blowing of the shofar, the chatzaitzah just enhanced the tkiah shofar, so you have to have the tkiah shofar, it should be longer. And on the Tainis Sibah, they would do the reverse. Those who are blowing the chatzaitzah, they would all blow simultaneously. Those who are blowing the shofar would stop at a certain point, and the one who's blowing the chatzaitzah would be marich. Chatzaitzah is marich and a shofar mekatzer, because on the Tainis Sibah, mitzvah sayayim is bechatzaitzah. So you see from that Mishnah that if you have two things, you have a shofar and a chatzaitz, when you want to demonstrate which one is the ikir, so you blow that one longer, you have more from that. So that's what the Rambam understood over here. The Korban Pesach, with Mancha Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, we had three mitzvahs of Achila. There was Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. And you want to demonstrate that the Korban Pesach is more important than the other two. The other two, the Gemara calls, are Hechsherah de Pischa. They enhance the kiyum mitzvah of achilas Pesach. The way to fulfill the mitzvah of korban Pesach bishlei musay is to have a matzah semrarim yochluhu. But the ikar mitzvah is really the korban Pesach. So that's why the Rambam understood the Pesach is nechal alasova means kedei lizbo mimenu. You have twice as much food. Why did he use that lashon alasova? How does that? So Rabbi Yochanan Pella quotes the Gemara in Brachos comments on the pasuk ve'achalta b'savata ve'rachta as Hashem alokecha. So one Tana says, if it would have said ve'achalta, ein achila p'chusim b'kazayis, so one might have thought that if you eat a kazayis of bread, the previous pasuk speaks about Eretz Yisrael b'miskenes tochal b'lechem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us into Eretz Yisrael, so there will be more than enough bread. Lo b'miskenes tochal b'lechem, there will be delicious bread in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'achalta, and you'll eat the bread. So if it would have only said v'chalta, it sounds like kizayis. Now that it says v'savata, so v'savata means two kizayis, a kibetza. That's how one Tana says. One Tana is of the opinion that if you eat a kizayis of bread, the benching is only mederabon. If you eat a kibetza of bread, two kizayis, then the chiyuv to bench is menatar. So based on that Gemara, the Gemara says v'savata means twice as much. So that's what the Rambam understood here. The Pesach is nechal. Ala sova means kidei lizbo mimenu, eat two kezesim. Instead of only eating one kezais, you have to eat two kezesim of korban Pesach to demonstrate that that's the ikir. So the second kezais you eat at the end of the meal, kidei sheyehei tam Pesach b'fiv arav chaviv is ha-mitzvah. Zman hazeh, the Gemara has a machlokes at the very end of the Masechta. We don't have any korban Pesach. Does this then apply today? That you should kidei sheyehei tam matzah b'fiv. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara, two versions of what Shmuel said. And the Psak Halacha is that it does apply today. So the Rambam explains why. He says, Bizman Hazeh, you have the matzah and the morer. So the matzah is menat Torah. Morer Bizman Hazeh is only by the Rabbanim. The Gemara says, morer is only a mitzvah menat Torah. Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. Morer Bizman Hazeh is only by the Rabbanim. Matzah Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim is a machlokes in the Gemara. And the accepted opinion is that matzah is the raisa. So the Rambam says, Bizman Hazeh, you have matzah and the morer. So the matzah is the more important of the two mitzvahs, clearly, by far more important. Matzah is the raisa, morer is the rabbanon. So to demonstrate that the matzah is the more important of the two, so we eat an extra kazayis of matzah. So you eat a kazayis in the beginning of the meal. Then our practice thing was that we eat koyr, then you have one more kazayis at the end, Kadesha Yishoratam Matzah Befiv, like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, had another kezayis of the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal to demonstrate that the Ikar Mitzvah Sayyim is the Korban Pesach. That's the most important of the three. So today we only have two, so we eat an extra kezayis of matzah at the end of the meal to demonstrate that the matzah is the more important of the two, the matzah and the mor, and Kadesha Yishoratam Matzah Befiv. So we have it at the end. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote different opinions. What is Afikoyman supposed to represent? So one opinion in the Rishonim is Afikoyman is Zecher LeKorban Pesach. They used to eat the Korban Pesach at the end, according to Tosis. They ate Alasov, the Korban Pesach was eaten at the end. So we eat Afikoyman at the end, Zecher LeKorban Pesach. So in the Maharil, the Sefer Maharil was not written by the Maharil. The Tshuvas Maharil were written by the Maharil himself. What they call the Drushas Maharil. He starts Nisan here, Sivan, he goes in order of the Chadoshim. Then he says, when you say Tachnan, when you say Slichas, when you say Piyutim, so on, when you say Kel Mal Rachman, all the Minhagim. So that's called Drushas Maharil. That was written by a Talmud of the Maharil. So every so often, he wrote things backwards. Every so often, he was writing quickly, so he made a mistake. So in Shulchan Aruch, they point out every so often there's a mistake in the Maharil. So here, in the Drushas Maharil, it says, when you eat Afikayim, since it's Zecher LeKorban Pesach, you should eat two kezesim Afikayim, and just like they ate two kezesim of the Korban Pesach. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say there's obviously a misprint over here, there's something wrong over here. Whoever heard of eating two kezesim of Korban Pesach is probably a mistake, who should say that you should eat two kezesim, one Zecher LePesach, one Zecher LeChagiga. So the later poskim say, what do you mean a mistake? It's not a mistake. The Rambam says that you eat two kezesim. There are a lot of Shverim Marils, and the Chazon Ish points out a lot of times. Maharil, just quoting over the Rambam, the earlier, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, they both say it's a mistake in the Maharil. They said, the Chazon Ish said it's not a mistake. Maharil a lot of times is quoting Rambams, and the Noisei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch didn't have the Rambam. So that's what we do, Bizman, is that we want to demonstrate that from the two mitzvahs that we do have. We have the Matzah and the Mor, the more important of the two is the matzah, because the matzah is the raisa, the morer is only the rabbanon. So that's how the Rambam understood that you eat the Korban Pesach, kidei lizbaa mimenu, you eat two kezesim. Instead of just eating one kezais, you eat two kezesim to demonstrate that that's the ikar mitzvah.
If Afikoman is supposed to be like a zecher, like Korban Pesach, how did the minhag develop that people hide the Afikoman? Because if that's like the Korban Pesach, you wouldn't be allowed to like put the basar of the Korban Pesach couldn't be put away somewhere else and hidden, I think, later on.
There's a din in Truma. The Chumash has an expression, Mishmeres Trumaisai. What does it mean, Mishmeres Trumaisai? You have to be careful to handle the Truma properly. It shouldn't become tame and it shouldn't get wasted. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't spill on the floor. So Rashi writes on the first daf in Chulin, that based on the base, that if there's a din of mishmeres by trumas, it's certainly more so there's a din of mishmeres by karbonas. You have to be careful that the karbonas shouldn't become tummy. Someone leaves a korban and is the hesach hadas, no one's watching, or everybody falls asleep. Let's say there's a korban on the table and everybody in the room falls asleep and no one is watching. So there is a possibility an adam tummy tiptoed into the room, touched the korban and walked out and no one was watching. Everybody was sleeping. So that's a din of hesach hadas. Even though you should really tell off the chazoket that it was tor before, you should assume it's still tor. So that's a din hesach hadas. You're not allowed to eat the korban. So that's what they quote from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the practice is you wrap up the afikoman and you put it on the side. The father of the household puts it on the side. That's zecher lePesach. That the korban Pesach. They had to be careful that it shouldn't become nitma. Now why the children steal it and they hide it?
Right.
And then it's mam shefker. They put it on the floor or something in between the floor and the carpet. So that's taka, not that's not this. That's disrespectful. Yeah.
So it's in the
Rashbam saying Pesach Matzah Maror. Shouldn't
be the other way
around?
She said,
when
first Maror
and then
Pesach
and Matzah. What is Maror from first? If we're talking about Seder, it
seems to be backwards.
No, the Rashbam points out on the Gemara, it's a Gemara like that, that on Leila Seder, there's a Seder L'chatchila Amatzah, so first to eat the Matzah, then to eat the Maror. L'chatchila should eat first the Matzah, then the Maror. And then you eat the Korban Pesach, you don't want to say another Shehakol. So if you eat the Korban Pesach before you wash, before you say Amoitzi, then you're going to say a Bracha Shehakol. So you're going to Bracha Shehna Tzvicha. So may as well wash first, say Hamoitzi, and then you eat the Korban Pesach in the middle of the meal, so you won't have to say another bracha. That is the Seder. The Seder should have been Matzah, Morah, and then Korban Pesach. But Matzah comes before the Morah. That's a Lechatchila Deraisa. You should eat the Matzah before the Morah. But Yevid, the Gemara said, if you only have one vegetable and you use it both for Karpas and for Morah, so if you had in mind, then you'll be, I'd say, with the Karpas, you'll be, I'd say, the Morah. But that's only Bidi Yevid. Lechatchila, you shouldn't begin to eat the Morah till after you eat the Matzah. That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara discusses, what if you have, let's say, the 10 Shutfim on the Korban Pesach, and 9 of them are reading the Haggadah faster than the 10th one, and they're already finished eating, and then by the time he gets to eat, there's no Korban Pesach left. There's no kezais of flesh left. They already ate everything up, so what's he going to do? So the Gemara says, if you have an etzem she'ishbo moyach, if there's marrow inside the bone, so if you eat the marach, the marrow inside the bone, is dina kebosar. So if there's a kezais of marrow, you can be etzem dead. But the Gemara says, there's a lav of shviras etzem. So you're not allowed to break a bone. So the Gemara says, well, why don't you say, esedech aloy says, otinsh can break it. He has no other way to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The other 9 shutz made everything up. So the Gemara says he's still not allowed to because we have a rule. Ein eser dechal ases sheba migdash. That's the Gemara's vachim. Eser dechal ases only applies anywhere else outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash we don't say it. So that's the Gemara's mashal. That you wouldn't permit shvira setzim for the purpose of eating the kazayas of marach that's inside the bone. Tosus there raises an issue. There's a Tosus Piskei HaTosis there, that the Shah Gassari has a whole essay about. Piskei HaTosis raises an issue. Eser Dechal Eses only applies if it's Be'idna, if it's Bevasachas. While I'm doing the Aver, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. What are you going to do over here? You're going to take a bone and chop the bone. You're going to violate the Aver, then later on you're going to eat the marrow. So you don't, even if it wouldn't be in Beis HaMikdash, you don't say Eser Dechal Eses that you should be permitted to do an Aver now, on the smach that you're going to do a mitzvah later. It's not bid, it's not bevasachas. So the Mefarshim answer, if it's atzomus harakim, if it's a soft bone, you can chew the whole bone and swallow the whole bone and be yoytze. So that would be mamish biyidna. That's bevasachas. I'm chewing the bone in order to eat the bone with the marach. Everything is soft. I'm going to eat the whole thing. That's the mocker for the Rambam. The Rambam says that the lava shviras etzim applies whether it's a hard bone or a soft bone. And even if you're chewing the whole bone, you're going to eat the whole thing, it's still a lava of Shriya Setzim. The Rambam got it from the Gemara. Because what did the Gemara have to come up with the answer? Ein eser dechal asesei sheba migdash. You should have said it's not biyidna. So the Tesis over there gave you a different answer that Shah Gassari is not happy with. So the Rambam said it's talking about atzamas harakim, and it's going to be biyidna. And that's halach. Ein eser dechal asesei sheba migdash.
Why would it be considered migdash if the people aren't necessarily eating? Yeah, it was killed in the Beis HaMikdash, the Dom was Zorog on the Mizbeach, but the Mishnah says himself, and they went back to their houses and stuff.
Yeah, they ate it in the Ir Atika, they ate it in the whole city.
I mean, there's a...
In Korbanus, it means in Korbanus, The Gemara says that they had to eat, Korban Pesach is a Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim you can eat in the whole Ir Atika. So the Gemara says you have to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level. You can't eat it, Gagam Aliyos Lainas Kachim. You've got to eat on top of the roof. You're going to eat it on the second floor of the building. It doesn't have Kedushas Ha'ir. You can only eat it on the ground level. That's a shaila. Is that only a local din in Korban Pesach? Or does it apply to all Kachim Kalim? Some Rishonim seem to hold it's only a din in Korban Pesach. It doesn't apply to other Kachim Kalim. And other Rishonim say, not only does it apply to all Kachim Kalim, it applies to Ma'aseh Sheni also. You have to eat Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. So the Tosfos and Makkos, and the second paragraph of Makkos assumes, you can't eat Ma'aseh Sheni on top of the rooftop. Ma'aseh Sheni say, other Rishonim distinguish, no, only Karbanos. So the Gemara says that the ground level of the Ir Atika is not big enough. They had several million Jews came every year to eat Korban Pesach. Not everybody walked into the Beis HaMikdash for the Shechita. You don't need all 10 Shutfim to walk in. One will bring the Korban, have them shechted. The other 9 will wait later on. But there wasn't enough room in the old city to have everybody eat on the ground level. How is that possible? They should all eat. So the Gemara said they had to eat in shifts. So the second shift had to wait till the first shift would finish eating. So the Gemara says that was every year like that. It could be that there were more than 2 shifts. It could be there were 3 shifts. So the Gemara says the later shift of people would be waiting for the first group to finish eating and disappear somewhere. So the Gemara says that's what they always did. They would have, you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda. You can't start the meal on the rooftops with Kiddush and then go down to the ground level in order to eat the Korban Pesach, then go back up. Wherever you're going to make the Kiddush, that's why you have to wash hamotzi, you have to eat. Sometimes people are newlyweds, so they live near their parents and their in-laws, so they want to have the first half of the Seder by this set of parents and the second half of the Seder by the other parents. So you can't do that. The first half of the Seder, you say Kiddush. You have to have Kiddush b'makom suda. So usually you say Kiddush b'makom suda, you wash immediately after the Kiddush. Tonight, you don't wash right away, you wash an hour later, after the second cup of wine. But you have to have the Kiddush in the same location where you're going to eat the meal. And then when you eat the meal, so you have to bench in the same location where you ate the meal. But after the third cup of wine, the third cup is Birchas Hamazon, then you can go wherever you want. So then, Bizman Shabbos Megdush Ayukam, they always would go to the rooftops in order to accommodate the people, the next shift of people who are waiting. They didn't begin to say Kiddush yet. So the Gemara has an expression, Kazaisa Pischa, they ate a Kazaisa of Korban Pesach, and then they said the halal on the rooftops, V'halela Poka Igra. When they were singing and dancing on the rooftops and reciting the halal, you would have the feeling as if the roof is going to collapse. Like sometimes you go to a wedding hall and yeshiva guys are dancing, you feel as if the floor is going to collapse. So the Gemara says that Bizman HaMikdash, they would dance on the rooftops to sing the halal. They ate a kazais and korban pesach on the ground level, and then they benched. Then they went up to the roof to have the kos revi to finish the halal there. So it was lebedik.
If you're at the gas, very hilly. It's very hilly. If you have a roof that's actually right next to the ground level because of how the hill is that considered?
I don't think so. If you have something below it, that's the ground level, and this is the rooftop.
And what about underground, like the Burns house, is a Cohen's house?
Yeah.
Also,
Mechilos Loines Katshim. The Gemara says the tunnels under the ground were Loines Katshim. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim had a dormitory below the ground level. So they would, sometimes there would be Tomei, so they would stay in the dormitory, they had a mikveh there. And then when they would become Tomei, they would go back upstairs into the Azar and do the Hakrovas HaKarbonos. But Mechilos were Loines Katshim.
If you made a Hamotzi, couldn't you go and eat elsewhere and bench elsewhere?
Yeah.
So why couldn't they do that?
In the middle of the meal. Yeah. Maybe they did. Oh. Could be that they did. But in order to bench elsewhere, you have to have a little bit of challah, matzah. Have to have a little bit of matzah over there too.
But that's a lucha chila. I thought the Rama says that we only say that like if it's like sorg mitzvah or something that you could do there.
Does
the
Shulchan
Aruch says you can't do it. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says you have to make a new, you have to say a bracha and then make a new bracha. No.
I don't know if you're gonna go right away. The chassidim do it all the time. They start eating at home, and then they have in mind when they wash that they're going to go to the Rebbe's dish
right. And
have a little bit of challah there, and then they can bench there. If they want to be mitzarfim to the mezumim, so they have to have a kezias by the Rebbe's dish. If they don't need them for the mezumim, they just want to bench b'mokam achilas apas, so they have to have a little bit of challah by the Rebbe's dish.
That's only the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says that you can't do that. No, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to say a bracha, a new bracha over there, and bench again. You have to bench there. If you go, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you leave Pesach Beso, you have to say new bracha.
Because we're afraid that you may spend so much time, you'll forget the bench. You'll spend so much time that you'll be hungry already. So it'll be too late. Way too long, you can't bench. Yeah. But if you're running right away, because the next shift wants to eat down on the ground level, Mestama, that we would permit. There's another unique din in Korban Pesach. The Gemara calls it Esei da Hashlama. It's in the Siddur before Baruch Shama. The pasuk says, "How's the pasuk say? Do we have a Siddur here?" How does the pasuk? If I had the pasuk, "Aleh Hashlam kol hakabanas kulam, v'hishlam aleh achel v'hashlamim." No, v'hiktor aleh achel v'hashlamim. Shenemar, Yochalahu Elod Hikto Alachal Vehashlamim. It means you bring the chelav of the korban shlamim. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Aleh Hashlam Kol Hakarbonos Kulam. All the karbonos have to be brought on the Mizbeach Achitzon sandwiched in between the Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Bein Abay. It's not proper to bring a korban before the Tamid Shal Shachar, but if you did, you yoytze. And nor is it proper to bring a korban after the Tamid Shal Bein Abay. But it'll be kosher, but v'chatchili not allowed to. That's a special mitzvah. All the karbonis should be brought in between the Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Bein Abay. In Shulchan Aruch, they both say, the Mechaber and the Ramah both say, some people come into shul late on Shabbos, so they come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So then the shul is davening Musaf, so they daven Musaf. Then after they daven Musaf, then they wake up, they didn't daven Shachris yet. So what's the din if you daven Musaf before Shachris? So both the Mechaber and the Ramah, apparently this was a common Shabbos. Where I used to daven on the Aguda, Washington Heights, every single Shabbos, one guy would come late. He came in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. He would daven Musaf with Tzibah, and every Shabbos he would ask the same Shabbos, is it okay if we daven Shachris now? So it was the same answer every week, yes, but the Eved, if you daven Musaf before Shachris, you yoytze the Musaf, and you just have to daven Shachris. You don't have to daven the Musaf over again. But l'chatchil, it's not proper to do that, because just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not supposed to bring any karbonis before the Tamid Shal Shachar. So more correct is, you should really daven Shachris before you daven Musaf. So that's called the Essay the Hashlama. All the karbonis should be offered in between the Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Bein Abayim. The one exception to the rule is Erev Pesach after Chatzos. He used to bring the Tamid Shal Bein Habayim early, and then they brought the Korban Pesach after the Tamid Shal Bein Habayim. The Gemara learns that from Psukim. The Korban Pesach was brought after the Tamid Shal Bein Habayim. It never says explicitly what's this thing regarding Pesach Sheni. One didn't participate in Pesach Rishon, and he brings Pesach Sheni on Yudalid Iyar a month later after Yudalid Nisan, Yudalid Iyar. Was that also brought after Tamid Shal Bein Habayim, or was that Esed Dashlama? They brought it before. So Tosfos is not sure. But this is clear in the Mishnah that the Korban Pesach Rishon was always brought after the Tamid Shal Bein Habayim. It's as if it were all the Korbanos are one system, one Seder, and Korban Pesach marches to its own tomb. Korban Pesach is its own Seder, a Seder Bifnei Atzmai. In the Sefer Kafta Baferach, There was an aliyah in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. A whole group of Balei HaTosfos moved there to Israel. So one of these Balei HaTosfos wrote a whole sefer about the dinim of Eretz Yisrael. Talks about the gvulos ha'aretz and the laws of trumas and maisus and the laws of shmita v'yovel. In the middle of his sefer, he writes that he heard that there was an earlier aliyah in an earlier generation, years before, less than 100 years before him. And one of the major Balei HaTosfos was considering the possibility of building a Mizbeach and bringing Karbonis. So he says, how can you do that? Everybody's tummy. How is it possible? You can't bring Karbonis if you're tummy. So finally he says that we're probably going to bring a Korban Tzibur. Korban Tzibur is Mutar B'Tumah. So that's a famous discussion regarding that. The Pasuk says that the Teuchach appears twice in the Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us, he gives us brachas haklolos. He says, if we follow the mitzvahs, we will be blessed, and if we do averus, we're going to be punished. The schar v'yonesh. So the Pasuk says in the Teuchach and B'chukosai, one of the klolos is, V'hashimosi es migdashechem, I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, V'lo yareich b'reich nichoichachem, and I will no longer smell the fragrant smell of the karbonis that you'll burn on the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah Megillah quotes the Tana Rav Yehuda, who's of the opinion that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is Kitcha Losi Lov, even if you have a Beis HaKnesses that's no longer used, that's Chorev, it still has Kedusha, based on the Beis HaMikdash. That even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Makam HaMikdash is still Kitcha Losi Lov. How does he know? Because the Pasuk says, V'Hashemosi Es Mikdashechem. So how does that prove anything? HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mefarshim usually learn Pshat. It says V'Hashimosi HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy, and it's still called Mikdashechem. Even after he destroys it, it's called Mikdashechem. So you see that it still has the Kedusha even after it's destroyed. So the Lady Mefarshim asks, who says that it's called the Mikdashechem after? I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash after it'll be destroyed. It won't be a Beis HaMikdash anymore. Where do you see from the Mashmois of the Pasuk? Because the word Mikdashechem appears after the verb V'Hashimosi. That even Bishom HaMuslim Adayin Heim HaKudoshim. How can you see that? So the Netziv came up, the Netziv and the Binyan Sin, they lived the same generation. So the Netziv and the Binyan Sin, they came up with a new interpretation of that Mishnah. No, the Mishnah says, V'ashimos, the Pasuk says, the Teuchach says, V'ashimos yes migdashechem, I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, And then it continues, V'loy ariach b'reach nechoichachen. I will not be interested in smelling the fragrant smell of the karbonis. Pshita, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, of course you can't smell any karbonis. So why does the Rabbanu Shlom have to say the second half of the pasuk? It's the raya from of Rabbi Yudah is not from the Seder that the verb Vashimosi precedes the word Migdashechem. See, it's still a Migdash even after Hashimosi. No, at the time of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, it's a Beis HaMikdash. Afterwards, maybe it's not. But from the fact that the pasuk continues, V'loy ariach b'reach nechoichachem, that's the proof. You see that even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Makriv and Afbi Shembais, we really have the ability to bring Karbonis even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, because the Makam HaMikdash is Kitchel Asilavai. It retains the Kedusha. But the Rabbanu Shalom says, don't do me any favors. I'm angry at you, I'm not interested in the smelling. Don't bring me any Karbonis. I don't want to smell. So that's what the Netziv and the Binyan Tzion. Rabbi Yankov Etliker, he was a Rav German, he's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Reifel Hirsch. So they both say the same suggestion. It's a Mishonah Dikah thing. They claim that if you look through the Chumash, the expression Reach Nichar, the Mishnah says in Zvachim, Dvar Mazevach Nizbach, whenever you shech the carbon, you're supposed to have in mind six Nishmas. The shame of Korban Chatos, the shame of Kapor Anachet, the shame who the owner of the Korban is, and the shame Reach Nichoyach. So by all the Korbanis, it says every Korban it's called Reach Nichoyach, except for Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, the expression Reach Nichoyach never appears. I would not have noticed. But that's what the Netziv points out. So he says the only Havamina that they had in the days of the early Bali Atesis to bring Korbanis was only on Korban Pesach. There never was a half a minute to bring any other korban. Because the Rebbe Shalom said, I'm not in, don't do me any favors. Hashemosi has Migdashechem. Because man is not based on Migdash. True, Makriv and Afal Pishen Bayis, you're allowed to bring korban. As the Rebbe Shalom said, don't do me any favors, I don't want it. The only one korban that's not described as a Reach Nichayach is the korban Pesach. So the whole Meduber that the Rabbi Nichil mi Paris at the Bali Atos had a half a minute to make a Mizbech and to bring korban. The whole Meduber was only a korban Pesach. So that's what the Achronim ask a kasha. The Chido quotes this kasha in a sefer Birkei Yosef on Hilchos Erev Pesach. How could they have had a havamina to bring a korban Pesach? The Mishnah says in Menachos, when you make a new mizbeach, you have to be mechanachit. So it says, "Ein mechanachin sa mizbeach al betomim shel shachar." You have to start from the beginning. You have to start from tomim shel shachar. So if there never was a havamina to bring tamidim, the whole havamina only was to bring a korban Pesach. So the mizbech that they're going to build, the Balei Atos will build the mizbech, it'll never have a chinuch. You can't be mechanach the mizbech with a korban pesach. You have to be mechanach with a tamid shel shachar. Tamid shel shachar has to be purchased with machzah shekel money. Machzah shekel money, you have to have a whole collection from all the klal Yisrael. They didn't have had a habamina to bring a tamid shel shachar. The whole habamina only was on the korban pesach, and that never got off the ground. So how can you bring, that's the kasha, how can you bring a korban pesach if you can only be mechanach the mizbech with the tamid shel shachar? So the Chido in the Birkei Yosef suggests that Mishnah Menachos, a mechanach lan sa mizbech al the tamid shel shachar, is only lechatzila, and b'diavad it's not miyakev. That's a big chiddush. The Pashto says that the Mishnah says it dim. It's miyakev b'diavad. Why should it say it's not miyakev? So others want to say a different answer. The din a mechanach lan sa mizbech al the tamid shel shachar is the din you have to start from the beginning. So that then only applies 353 days and a half days in the year. Any other day except for Erev Pesach in the afternoon. All the other karbonis have to be brought in between Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. So you have to start from the beginning. The beginning is Tamid Shel Shachar. But on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the Korban Pesach is brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. It's not part of the system. It's a system bifnei atzmai. So if you build the Mizbeach Erev Pesach in the afternoon, then you can be Mechanachet. That's how others say you can be Mechanach the Mizbeach with the first Korban Pesach that you bring. You're beginning from the beginning of that Seder. All the other Karbonos belong to this Seder that you start with the Tamid Shel Shachar, finish with the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. Korban Pesach is the exception to the rule. Yeah. They have historical evidence that they did bring, yeah. They used to bring, Maritz Chayes has a whole essay about that. Maritz Chayes has a very fascinating essay. There is a Gemara at the beginning of Sochem, on Dav Dalit. Gemara says that there was a non-Jew He used to come every year to the Beis HaMikdash, and he told the people he was Jewish and they believed him, and he used to pay money, and he ate Korban Pesach. So he was once bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra that he fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. Here it is on Gimel Amud Beis. He fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. They think that he's Jewish, and he's not Jewish at all. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra lived in Itzivan. They had no telephones. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra wanted to trip him up, so they'll know next time. So he says, so he asks him, "No, I think they knew that you were a goy. Did they ever give you the fatty tail, the alya?" He says, "No." He says, "Because they knew that you're not Jewish.
If they
would think that you were Jewish, they would have given you the fatty tail." So the next time he goes to Yerushalayim, he says he wants the fatty tail. So he says, "What are you, crazy? We burn it on the Mizbech. Nobody's." He says, "No, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra told me I should ask for the fatty tail." So they made a whole investigation. They found out he wasn't Jewish, so they killed him. So the whole story doesn't make sense. The Eshtekasha is, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra lived after the Churban Abayis. So how can the whole story happen? They're talking about bringing Korban Pesach. So Taisus Yen says, there were two Tanoim with the same name. Two Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerras. Tzveitekasha is, how can Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, there was one who lived as Banam, why didn't he go to Yerushalayim to eat the Korban Pesach? Taisus says, he must have been an old sick man, or whatever, give it teretz. The third Kasha is, why did they kill him? Why did they kill him? The Avera of Benecha Lo Yochel, but we're not allowed to give Korban Pesach to a Goy. But the Goy is not from the Shem and Mitzvah's Benarach. Why did they kill the Goy? So some, the Menachas Chino says they killed him because of Gezel, because he bought a share of the Korban Pesach on the false pretenses. If they would have known that he wasn't Jewish, they wouldn't have sold him. So that was Mekach Toez, that was Geneva, so the Goy is Chai Misuvi Geneva. Wouldn't appear so in the Gemara that it's because of Geneva. So the Maritz Chayis has a whole essay on this. In the back of the Gemara he has it Bekitzer, a brief paragraph, and he has a whole essay in his other svarim. He quotes from the historical sources that for the first couple of years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they would bring Karbonos, Makriv, and all. They did bring Korban Pesach, but the Roman soldiers would kill him if they would catch him. So the young Chevre from the Machteret would make him his Beach, Shech the Korban, and then run. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was an old man. He couldn't join the Machteret. There were very few who would join. So that explains how come Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra lived after the Churban Abayis. Yeah, there was one Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. He lived after the Churban Abayis, and there was still Makriv and Korban Pesach, Afal Pishein Bayis. And that's why they killed the Nachri, because they were afraid he was going to mass it to the Roman police. He's going to mass it to the Roman government. They're going to kill all the, he's going to tell them all the people, who all the people were in the Machteret. This is his whole famous explanation of this Gemara. And he shows from other Gemaras in Sanhedrin. The Rishonim Sanhedrin, they used to bring Korban Pesach even after the Churban Abayis.
Why can we say, like Rebbe likes to say sometimes, that they found a rock that said that any Goy who comes into the Azara or whatever, who comes into the Har Abayis, is Chai Miso. So why can we say that, and we said that there's no report for that in Halacha, but maybe that was the reason, in other words, that he violated that rule.
Ah.
That he went to Har Abayis, and even though that's not based on Halacha, that was apparently, as Rebbe always says, that was there to have that rock.
Possibility.
So maybe that was the reason they killed him.
Could be. Could also be, yeah. Every story in the Gemara is missing a lot of details, so this story is missing an awful lot of details. But that's the Shad Tosfos says he sees from this Gemara Din, that if a non-Jew, a person walks into Bezin and he says, "I'm Jewish," we believe him. He doesn't have to bring any documents. We believe him when he says that he's Jewish. Unless we know for sure that he was a non-Jew and he claims that he converted, then it's Eidechot Keneged Ches Kasisa. Then he has to prove with a document. He needs a ksav from a beznas, I hate him, to are going to say. But if you don't know whether he's Jewish or not Jewish, then you say, he's naming on himself to say that he's Jewish. That's what Tosfos says, it would appear from his Gemara. In Eretz Yisrael. If he stands to gain something by saying that he's Jewish, yeah. He'll gain citizenship in Eretz Yisrael, or he'll be allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So then, yeah, you got to be suspicious. That's why the Rabbanut does not rely. The Rabbanut insists that if someone comes and don't know who he is, he has to have documentation that he's Jewish, and his mother was Jewish, and his grandmother was Jewish, and so on. Because there's so many people who are Meshaker. Yeah. The Korban Pesach, there are two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of in the minyan on mitzvah. One is Hakrabas Korban Pesach and one is Achilas Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, what happens? The person participated in Hakrovas Korban Pesach, and then he took sick in the afternoon. He took sick, and he's in his intensive care unit, or he becomes tamei. If mitin Hakrovas Korban Pesach and his man achila becomes tamei, becomes sick, and he can't eat the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, achilas haPesach is not miyakev. What do you mean it's not miyakev? He's not yet in the mitzvah of achila. It's not miyakev in the mitzvah of Hakrovah. If at the time of Hakrovas haPesach he was royal achila, let's say a person at the time of Hakrovas haPesach is sick and he's unable to eat, and it doesn't look like he'll be able to eat tonight either, and then they cure him, but at the time of Hakrovah he wasn't royal achila, so then he's not yotzei the Hakrovah. But at the time of the Hakrovas haPesach looks like he is royal achila at night, and then something comes up, he takes sick or becomes tamei, so then he was yotzei the Hakrovah, and there's no need to bring Pesach Sheni. That's what it means, that Achivas HaPesach is not miyake. Yeah.
So what is done when the animal? Let's say he didn't have a group. It was just him by himself.
You have to wait till it becomes... You can't burn it now because it's a korban kosher. Just the bailam are not able to eat it. So you have to wait till it becomes nifsobalina and then you burn it. That's called Ibur Tzura. You leave it overnight till it becomes Nifsal Balina, and then whatever is Nifsal Balina, you have to burn. The Korban Pesach is really a Korban Shazman HaKavut. It should really be considered a mitzvah saseh, Shazman Groma, and we really should say that women are potter from participating in Korban Pesach. Look, if the women want to listen to Tkir Shofar, they want to shake a lulav, you know they're not obligated to. They're welcome to. So if they want to participate in Korban Pesach, it's also fine. But the Gemara has a machlokes on Daf Tzadik, Daf Tzareaf, whether women are mechuyev in Korban Pesach or it's only rishus. So the pashtus, one would have assumed, the svara hachitzayna, what would you say if you wouldn't have any psukim one way or the other? What's the svara hachitzayna? The svara hachitzayna is that women ought to be potter, because it should really be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And the Tana who wants to say that women are mechuyev, the burden of proof should be on him. He has to quote a pasuk. He has to prove that the women are mechuyev. Pashta says women should be potter. You read the sugya though, the whole gist of the sugya is fakir. The svar chitzayna and the whole sugya is that the women are mechuyev in Korban Pesach. And the burden of proof is placed on the other Tana. Tana says that women are not mechuyev, so he has to prove that they're not mechuyev. So that's what the svasem is. Ask on the Gemara, isn't everything fakir over here? Why is the burden of proof on the one who says that the women are potter? The women should have been potter. Should have been a mitzvah says that Shazman Grama, women should be potter. So he has a suggestion, and then he shows that he thinks it's a Tosfos and Megillah says like that. He has a suggestion, maybe because Korban Pesach is an Issur Kares. Whoever doesn't participate in Korban Pesach is punished with Kares, and maybe that's an indication that there's an Issur involved. Let's say there's a mitzvah to Lake Tefillin. And if a person doesn't like tefillin, he violated an avera. He didn't violate an avera. He failed to fulfill a mitzvah. Sometimes you have a pasuk that's written as a mitzvah essay. Let's say, kol tzipa tohera tochelu. It's a mitzvah to have chicken every day. Once a day, every day, kol tzipa tohera tochelu. Rama counts it as a mitzvah. Pashtus says, that's not a kiyum mitzvah. It's an iser essay. It means you're not allowed to eat eagle flesh. You're not allowed to eat a non-kosher bird. That's an Isser Asay, but it's not a Kiyum Asay. And so by Tefillin is Faker, Tefillin is a Kiyum Asay, but the Pashto says there is no Isser Asay. Let's say Tashbisu. On Erev Pesach, you have to burn the Chometz. So Tashbisu is a Kiyum Asay, it's a mitzvah, you say a bracha al bir Chometz. When you bite the Chometz because you're going to burn it, it's a Kiyum Asay, it's an Isser Asay also. If you eat Chometz after Chatzos on Erev Pesach, you're in violation of Tashbisu. So Tashbisu is both an Isser Asay and a Kiyum Asay. So what's over here? There's a mitzvah to bring the Korban Pesach. It's a mitzvah, so I say. Is there an iser involved that if you don't bring it, it's considered that you violated an avera? Or no? You failed to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Sfasema says, maybe hasvara no senes, maybe the Tanaim assume if there's kores, such a punishment of kores, so lektzach nishtaf and sechel, that there should be kores for failure to fulfill the mitzvah. It must be that the fact that there's kores is an indication that there's an iser assay over here. And if there's an Isra Asay, then women are mechuyev, even though it's man grama. Mitzvah Asay shahaz man grama, women are potter, is only if it's a kiyum asay. If it's a lav or an Isra Asay, then the women are mechuyev. So that's the Sfasemis' suggestion. and he quotes a Taisus in Megillah. Taisus in Megillah, Taisus in Kiddushin, works on Akasha. The Gemara Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, has a pasuk that the mother is not obligated to see to it that her baby boy has a bris milah. The father is obligated, it's a chiyuv on the father to see to it that his baby boy has a bris, and the mother is not obligated. So Taisus frekt Akasha, why do you need a pasuk to indicate that the mother is not mechuyev? Isn't it a mitzvah sasesha as magrama? Because he can only perform the mitzvah of milah bayom. He can't do milah balayim. So all the Rishonim gave different answers. So there's a Taisus in Megillah gives the following answer. Even though milah is a mitzvah sasesha as magrama, but since there's kareis, so I would have thought that women are mechuyev. That's why I need a pasuk. So that's a Svasemis points out, truth of the matter, there's no chorus on the father. If the father doesn't perform the bris milah, there's no chorus. There's only chorus on the baby. If a baby grows up and he's bar mitzvah and he doesn't take care of his own bris milah, then he's punished with chorus. But that's what Tosfos says, since there's chorus, so the Svasemis and Terps says, since there's chorus, this would seem to indicate that bris milah is not only a mitzvah saseh, a kiyum saseh, it's an iser saseh as well. So if it's an iser saseh, the women should be mechuyev, even though it's a mitzvah saseh, shas magram. So that's what the pasuk tells you by bris milah, that there's no chorus on the parent, there's only chorus on the baby. So that's not an iser saseh for the parent, it's only an iser saseh for the baby. But by Korban Pesach, he interprets a very interesting interpretation. Like Korban Pesach, the Svarach Itzayna of the Gemara was that women should be mechuyev, because since it's Kari, so that shows that it's an Iser Aseh. And an Iser Aseh is like a Lois Aseh. That even though it's a Zman Grama, women are still mechuyev. The Gemara says that an Eved Kenayni cannot become Mamuna on a Korban Pesach without explicit authorization from the Yodon. He wants to become a Muna on someone else's Korban Pesach, not the Adon's Korban Pesach. The Gemara says the difference between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kenayni. Eved Kenayni, the Gemara says, there's a Kinyan Iser, and an Eved Ivri, Tosfos thinks that there's no Kinyan Iser. There's a Kinyan Iser and an Eved Kenayni. The Eved Kenayni doesn't have the right to become a Muna on a Korban Pesach on his own. He has to have authorization from the Adon. Eved Ivri, there is no such thing.
Korban Pesach is all about chayrus. How could Eved Kenayni eat at all? If it's all about chayrus, like we were saying in the beginning of the shiur, it makes no sense to say that Eved Kenayni could eat.
The Mishnah says he can't eat.
Right.
The Mishnah says he can't eat. I mean, is he mechuyev or not? Maybe he's not mechuyev. So that's the question, whether women are mechuyev. Usually the Eved is mechuyev in the same thing that the women are mechuyev. We assume that Noshim Berishon Chayva, that the women are obligated to participate in Pesach Sheni, is only women, and Pesach Sheni is only Rishus, it's optional. But women of Pesach Rishon, we assume, is a Chayva. So we would probably assume that Eved Kenayni is also a Chayva. Yeah.
That's
also true for Afikomen, and all the things that are Some Rishonim say that since the women are Mechuyev in Korban Pesach, they're Mechuyev in everything. All the mitzvahs are like, yeah. The Gemara has a separate pasuk for matzah. That even though matzah is a Zman Grama, but since the pasuk puts matzah together with chametz, so kol sheyesh them b'bal techel chametz, yesh them b'kul mechal matzah, so the women are obligated to eat matzah. Then Korban Pesach is the machlekes, and we pass the women are mechuyev in Korban Pesach. Pesach Rishon they're mechuyev, right? There's another din by Korban Pesach. The Pesach has to be completed by Chatzos. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by midnight. A Pesach ein nechel elo ad Chatzos. So the Gemara in the first parak in Brochus quotes a machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Azariah, whether that din of Chatzos is a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is of the opinion that it's a din d'oraisa because of the expression that the Chumash uses. That expression, balayla hazeh, has the connotation of chatzos, because it says, v'avarta be'eretz Mitzrayim balayla hazeh, v'ikesi kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim. So just like over there, balayla hazeh means at the split second of chatzos, so to over here, v'ochlos habasa balayla hazeh means you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by midnight. Right, that's an interesting question. The Avnei Nezer has a fascinating suggestion on that. It's not the same. Korban Pesach you eat up until midnight, and Makas Tcharis was at the split second of midnight. The Avnei Nezer has a famous comment on that. not for now. So the other time Rabbi Kiva says, no, min atari can eat the Korban Pesach all night long, vachas habasa balayla hazeh, but min the Rabbana kedei lahachik asadam and aver, to prevent people from sinning, so he said, shouldn't eat the Korban Pesach after chatzos, because if you'll allow people to eat Korban Pesach 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, it'll come alos hashach, alos hashach is pitch black outside, alos hashach something like an hour and 20 minutes or so before sunrise, and it's very hard. You can't tell that it's Alos HaShachar. So people will continue to eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar. That'll be an Issa Koris. That's nicer. So if you eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, it'll be a serious Aver, of course. So what's the Nafkemina Halacha Lamaisa, whether Chatzos, how do we paskin, whether Chatzos Deraisa Derabbanan? So Tosus is not sure. Tosus says there's a Stamish and Zvachim in Ezra Mekoyman that says, a Pesach Eina Nechal Ela Ad Chatzos, in a double negative. So the Gemara there in Ezel Mekayman understands from the Mishnah, it's such a serious statement, implied that it's a din derais. If it would have been a din derabban, it wouldn't write it so sharply. So that's a stop Mishnah like Rav Blazer ben Azari, that chatzos is a din derais. The Tosfos is not sure whether we should paskan chatzos is derais derabban. Bottom line, you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by chatzos. So the Gemara at the very end of the Masechta, the next to the last daf, the Masech Gemara says, the Afkemina Balchab, what about eating matzah after Chatzos? If Chatzos is a din daraisa by the Korban Pesach, then the Gemara says there's a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. So just like Korban Pesach has to be natar, be completed by Chatzos, matzah has to be finished by Chatzos as well. But if you hold that the Chatzos by Korban Pesach is only a chumra midirabbanan, natar can eat all night long, so the Gemara assumes they only made a gzera derabban if they're afraid you're going to eat nisar. You're going to eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, that's an aveira. But what are they going to be afraid? You may eat the matzah after Alos HaShachar, so you will not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. You have no right to make a gzera because you're afraid people will not fulfill the mitzvah. You only have a right to, which pasuk authorizes the Chachamim to make gzeras? So the Gemara in Yevamah says on Daf Chaf Aleph, the last pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mos reads, "Ushmartem es mishmarti lilti asos michokos atoavos ha'ilu," and so on. So the Gemara understands, "Ushmartem es mishmarti asu mishmeres lemishmarti." You should make ases yom la Torah. So the Prima Gadim points out that the Gemara says, whenever it says "Hishama pen aral," the Mashmoy says that there's an avere. So here it says, "Ushmartem es mishmarti asu mishmeres lemishmarti meka siyog." If you're afraid people are going to violate an avera, so if you're afraid people may by mistake eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, that's an avera, that's a serious avera, that's an avera sheish b'karis, you're eating nosa. If people will eat the matzah in the morning after Alos HaShachar, they will not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah matzah. So what's the tragedy? They'll say a bracha levatola she kedushana b'mitzvos etzvano al achilas matzah. So Tosfos says that bracha levatola is only the rabbana. On the level of the Raisa, he's praising the Rabbanu Shalom. Shekutzon Alachilas Matzah. What's up there? But the Rabbanan shouldn't say Bracha Levatol. So that's what the Gemara says. So that's a Shaila Halacha Lamaisa. So Tosfos says 2 days. Should we paskan that Chatzos is the Raisa by the Korban Pesach, then it carries over to the Matzah as well. Then you have to finish, you have to eat the Matzah by Chatzos. So the Ramban Shulchan Aruch quotes a Ran and Megillah. The Ran and Megillah says we should be machmer like that opinion that Chatzos is deraisa, and we should be machmer not only to try to eat the matzah before Chatzos, is you try to finish all our abakosis before Chatzos, all the mitzvahs alayla. Try to finish the abakosis by Chatzos.
So the Avnei Nezer trick that some people use, so one half of it is that if the rule is that you have to eat it before Chatzos, so then we stop for a little bit, and after Chatzos we continue eating, because after Chatzos is already not this month. Would that also work at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you had to eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos? Could you then resume eating Nash after Chatzos?
Because he claims that yes. He's coming to answer the kasha that he asked. How can you learn out that Chatzos is a din d'oraisa? Because the phrase Balayla Zeh has a connotation of Chatzos. Makas Bukharis was at the split second of Chatzos. Here by Korban Pesach, you can't eat the Korban Pesach at the split second. Then you have to finish eating it by chatzoso, it's not the same as makas kharis. So he comes up with a suggestion which is very questionable. Charif is dik. Avnanezer is always charif is dik. Whether you agree, you don't agree, always sharp. He was a genius. So he suggests, you really, when you eat the Korban Pesach, you're not yotze until it comes chatzos, and you have, if you died before chatzos, it comes out you weren't yotze. You're only yotze Korban Pesach at chatzos, just like Machas Bechorza at chatzos, so you only Korban Pesach at chatzos. But if you ate the Korban Pesach at 10 o'clock at night, so it's like Kolsa Kinyona, he compares it to. How do you say that you yotze at chatzos? So he says, you have to leave Tam Pesach Befiv. If you still have the flavor of the Korban Pesach in your mouth at Chatzais, then you yotze the mitzvah. If the guy dies after he ate it before Chatzais, not yotze the mitzvah, or if he brushes his teeth, then at Chatzais there's no flavor of, he's learning as if the din of Tam Pesach Befiv is a din daraisa. It's always assumed to be a din derabbana, that a chaviv is a mitzvah. So Avnanezer says, no, it's a din daraisa. So he says, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, if there's a din of chatzos, so all you need is the flavor of the Korban Pesach in your mouth at chatzos, you had it, then you can eat all you want. After you can't eat the Korban Pesach afterwards, because it's not the Zman HaMitzvah. There are some, yeah, but that's very questionable. That's very questionable. Pashtus is that the idea of not eating after the Korban Pesach, hey, maftir nach Pesach avikoymen, is that the flavor of the Korban Pesach should remain in my mouth when I go to sleep out of chavivus HaMitzvah. Not that it should be in my mouth at chatzos, that I should be yotze in the mitzvah at chatzos. I'm yotze when I eat the Korban Pesach. I have to eat it before chatzos. The whole thing is a fantasy. It's a big chiddush, very big chiddush. There's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says you have to broil the Korban Pesach, the pasuk, so you have to broil Rosh al-Krov al-Kirbay. Not supposed to slice the Korban Pesach into lamb chops and broil each one separately. It's supposed to broil the whole thing all together. So the Rambam says, but you shouldn't broil the whole Korban Pesach, everything together. When we salt flesh, so we succeed in getting out, we're not supposed to eat the blood. So when we salt the meat, we succeed in getting out the blood that's in the capillaries. But if you have big veins or big arteries that have a lot of blood in them, the salting is not going to help from today till tomorrow. The salting is going to be mavliya the dam into the flesh. The salting only helps after you took out the chute hadam, the big veins and the big arteries, the blood and the capillaries, so that the salting is going to help from. So the Rambam says, before you broil the Korban Pesach, you have to remove the chute dam, otherwise you're going to be broiling the Korban Pesach with the dam, is going to make a trafe. So you remove the chute dam. Then he says, after you broil the whole Korban Pesach, then you cut out the Gira Nosha, because you're not allowed to eat the Gira Nosha, and you eat the rest of the Korban. So the Ravid has his own sharp way of commenting on the Rambam. So he says, if I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash, I would take this man's Korban Pesach, throw it on the floor, and tell him you're not allowed to eat it. Well, you're shugging it. Why did you broil the Korban Pesach with the Gira Nosha? You just made everything treif. That's the Ravid's Hasog on the Rambam. Just like you have to remove the Chutei Dam, so you should remove the Gira Nosha as well. It's going to make everything trade. So Rabbi Yosef Kara has the commentary, the Kesem Mishnah. He always comes to defend the Rambam from the Kashas of the Rambam. So he says, well, you learn Chulin. We didn't get there yet. When you learn Chulin, there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. If you broiled Yerach Shenes Bashal Begidah, you cooked all year long, not Pesach, you cooked a piece of flesh with the Gira Nosha. So there's Machlokes where the Yesh Begidah Mirais HaTam, Ein Begidah Mirais HaTam. Does Gira Nosha have such a tam that it can give tam ki iker, it can make the flesh trafe? So we paskin ain't beginning with ice tam. The Gira Nosha will not succeed in making anything trafe. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah says. The Rambam says preferable is to broil the whole Korban Pesach all together to the extent that you're able to. So if you're going to broil it with the arteries and with the veins, you're going to make a trafe. If you're going to broil it with the Gira Nosha, you won't make a trafe. Just have to remember to cut out the Gira Nosha later, not to eat the Gira Nosha. But the Gira Nosha is not going to make treif, so preferable is you broil it all together, Rosh al-Krav al-Kirbay, to fulfill that mitzvah. Then the Kesem Mishnah asks, but the Gemara says in Chulin that not only is the Gira Nosha asa, the Shuman Agid, the fat on top of the Gira Nosha, is also asa. And that's already nice and top. The fat is nice and top. So there's one opinion in Tosfos that we don't pass in Halacha like that. One opinion in Tosfos is since the Shulman HaGid is not awesome in our Torah, it's only awesome in the Rabban Gzera Otu Gid, so just like the Gid Anasha does Nasa, so the Shulman HaGid does Nasa either. But in case of Mishnah says the Rambam doesn't agree to that. In Shulchan Aruch, he said we don't pass like that opinion in Tosfos. We pass the Gid Anasha does not Aser, ain't the Gid Mirayzat Tam. But the Shulman HaGid does Aser. So he says, how did the Rambam allow you to broil the Korban Pesach with the Shulman HaGid? The Shulman HaGid is going to make a treif. So the Kesef Mishnah comes up with the following suggestion. He says, we're learning Chulin. We're still in Perikis Yadam. The next parak is going to be Gid Anoshe. So he says, when you get to the next parak Gid Anoshe, the Gemara's Loshen is, the Shulman HaGid, the fat on top of the Gid Anoshe, is Mutam and HaTorah, and then it doesn't say it's awesome of the Rabbanim. Rashi says that. The Gemara says, "V'Yisrael Kedoshim Noagu Bo Issa." The holy Jewish people have a minig that they don't eat the Shulman HaGid. So the Kesef Mishnah says that's only a minig. A minig is binding me the Rabbanim itam neder, but it's only a minig. So the Kesef Mishnah says, what do you do when you have a conflict between a real din and a minig? So he said, you have to observe the din. So here there's a real din. Rosh al krov al kirb. We're supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact in one piece. Not supposed to cut it up in advance. So he says, one day a year, every Jew violates the minig. Everybody eats the Shulman HaGid. Alel Pesach. Because when you broil the Korban Pesach, you broil it with the Gid Anoshi, with the Shulman HaGid. So it's going to be nice and tam throughout the whole Korban. Everybody's going to be eating Shulman HaGid. You cut out whatever you can afterwards. You cut out the Gid Anoshi. Cut out as much of the Shulman HaGid as you can, but it's clearly going to be nice and tam. So that's what he writes. Whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, then you have to observe the din. You can't observe the minig. So one night a year, namely on Leil HaSeder, everybody has to eat Shulman HaGid. This is the Rambam. He used to be a big Talmud Chacham here in New York, Rav Gustman. He was on the Besna of Rav Chaim Oizer before the war in Vilna. And then he ran away, he survived in Siberia, and then he came to America. He's famous, he gave shiur. Then he had yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, the end of his life. So he has, his shiurim are very popular in yeshivas, Kuntrei Se Shiurim. So he has, at the end of a Sefer HaKiddushin, he has a Tshuva Halacha Lamai. He says, sometimes there are women who have a short cycle, and by the time they go to mikveh, they're already unable to conceive. So they won't be able to have children. So what's going to be? So he writes that sometimes the waiting of the Shivanakim is only a minig. Sometimes it's a din deraisa. Sometimes the Shivanakim is a din derabbanan. And in some rare cases, it's only a minig. So he says, in a case where it's only a minig, and the minig is in conflict with the mitzvah of Pirah V'Rivya, the couple got married, husband has a mitzvah min HaTorah to try to have children. And because of a minig, sometimes the Shibidikim is only a minig, because of a minig it's in conflict with the mitzvah of Pirah V'Rivya. So he says, he with Rav Moshe Feinstein with several other Gedolim permitted the woman to violate the Shibidikim in order to have Pirah V'Rivya. That's in his, everything else in the Sefer is just pulpulim on the Gemara. This is a tshuva halacha l'maisa, and many people that have this situation. Usually the Shevinikim is mochomer than a minig. Usually it's a dinderabbanim. So that's a more serious question. I permitted to violate the dinderabbanim, Shevinikim, the mochom peribiriviv. But whenever it's only a minig in those rare cases, then taka, we would be mekom.
Did you say something else
throw that we were last month
in certain parts of it?
The Gemara says, B'nai Salach Mira, so the Gemara says, Hechad Nog, Nog, Hechad Lo, Nog, Lo, Nog. The Gemara says that sometimes Shivanikim is only a minig, and some places they have the minig, some places they don't. So in Yeridea, there's a machlokes, is it still a minig, B'zman Hazeh? It should be assumed that by now, it's already so many centuries later, maybe today it's already endorsed by the Gemara, so maybe today it's a real din derabbanan. So we pass, no, it's still only a minig. Yet, sometime. But sometimes the Shivanikim is a real takanas rebbe. So that's what you have to know. Rav Gusman doesn't go into all the details. He just says, whatever, it's only a minig, then there's room to be mekel. There's a din in Korban Pesach. Let's say the shecht of Korban Pesach on a person who's not able to eat. He's sick, he can't eat it, because I say he's not yotze. Then by the time it comes Pesach Sheni, he is able to eat. So he's mechuyav to bring Pesach Sheni. He wasn't yotze hakrovah. Whoever was yotze hakrovah's Pesach Rishon, so we say achilos psachim bo miakva, he doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni. It's only by midvar mamurim, if he was a barhochi of achila, he was roi lachila, when they were makriv the Pesach Rishon. So if he was tameh, he's not roi lachil. What if he's bederech rechoika? What does it mean derech rechoika? So the Mishnah has a machloikas hatanoim, and we paskin lalocha derech rechoika means, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the Rambam has a different sheet. According to Rashi and Tosfos, derech rechoika means at chatzos on erev Pesach, when you become obligated to makrav zayin the korban Pesach, you can't bring the korban Pesach in the morning. One Tana is of the opinion, b'diyevet, if you beat the korban Pesach in the morning of your dalet, you would be yotze. We don't paskin like that. We paskin if you bring in the morning is no good. It says bein harbay. You have to bring a dafke in the afternoon. So at chatzos on erev Pesach, everyone becomes obligated to bring korban Pesach. Where are you located at Chatzos? If you're within a radius of Tezvav Mil, 15 milen, to Yerushalayim, you draw a circle around Yerushalayim, okay, and the radius is from Modi'in to Yerushalayim. Modi'in is 15 mil away from Yerushalayim. So if you're within that radius, that's Derech Kroiva. If you pass that radius, Derech Chayka. What does it correspond to? So the Gemara makes a whole calculation. If you would walk by foot, would you be able to reach Yerushalayim before Shkia? At Chatzos is when you become mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach, and you can't bring the Korban Pesach after the Shkia. So if you would walk to Yerushalayim, would you make it or not? So let's say the guy's not going to walk. He has a horse. He has a camel. The Gemara talks about a camel. The guy has a camel. He's derech rechoka. He's 30 mil away. He's 100 mil away. But he has a camel. He's going to get to Yerushalayim. So we paskin even b'dieved yinad yotze. If they shech the Korban Pesach on someone who's derech rechoka, even though Vaday will reach Yerushalayim before the Shkia, he will be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Al Pidin is not Yotze. If you derech rechoka, you don't be late to Yerushalayim, you're not Yotze. So the Talmidim of the Nadi Yehuda had a suffix. Why does the Gemara say it depends? And it's man by Sheni. Why do they say it depends on how far a person can walk if he goes by foot? Why doesn't it depend on going by camel? Is that a halacha l'mashi mesina? Kach nemer halacha that it depends on going by foot? Or should we perhaps assume that that was the normal way that the average pilgrim would travel? Most of the people didn't go by camel. Most of the people would walk by foot. So since that was in the way the average traveler would go, so that's why the halacha is established based on the average travel. What's the difference? Bizman HaZeh, the Talmidim of the Nadi Yehuda already had trains. So they want to know, Vosvet Zion and the third base Hamikdash will be built. People are not going to walk by foot. The average traveler is going to go by car, is going to go by bus, going to go by train. So maybe the Derech HaChokesh here should change. So they say, we don't know what the din is. When we build the third base Hamikdash, we'll ask Eliyahu, we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu what the din is. But it's Nageya now for Avelus. Because there's a din, the Gemara has a din. A person comes to, they had no cell phones, they had no telephones, they had no communication. A person comes to visit the parents, and he comes to his parents' home. He sees everybody sitting Shiva. It's the fifth day of Shiva. So if the Gemara says that then if he came Mimakam Karaiv, then Moina Imayim. If he came Mimakam Rachaik, then Moina Liatz has to start his own Shiva. If he came Mimakam Karaiv, the place where he came from was Makam Karaiv, then he continues the Shiva where they're up to, and he gets up the end of the Shiva when they get up. So what's the definition of Makam Kar, Makam Rachik? So Tosfos quotes from the Rif, and quotes from the Goinim, from the Bahag. It's determined by the Shiva by Korban Pesach. But by Korban Pesach, you only establish it based on how far he can travel in half a day. Because the Chiyuv of Korban Pesach begins at Chatzos, you have to be able to arrive in Yerushalayim by sunset. But over here it depends on traveling a whole day. One day's travel. So if you're within Makam Karev, you can I'm a Makam Karev to where the family is sitting Shiva, then I continue the Shiva with them. So that's the Shaila Alocha Maisa Bizmanazah. How do you establish Makam Karev? In the days of the Bayesheni, the average traveler would go by foot. He wouldn't travel at night. It's dark, he's not going to walk all day and all night, he has to sleep, so he only would travel from Alos HaShachar till Seis HaKam, he'd go by foot. But today, the average traveler is going to go by train, he's not going to walk by foot. He can go much further, and the train goes by Yom HaBalailo. So maybe he should go one day's travel, if he's within one day. So if it's within one day by travel, so that's a Shaila, that depends on it. So what's going to be as the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt? So we'll ask Eliyahu HaNavi, we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever. But what's now, before they build it, before Eliyahu, before Moshe Rabbeinu comes? What's the Hilchas Avelis? So the Poskim say, whenever there's a Machlokes in Hilchas Avelis, we always go Lekula. Halacha Ketiv Ramekel, both will be go Lekula. So Rav Moshe was faced with a Shaila, you always go Lekula, you can arrive from any location, to any location in the world within 24 hours. Can always get there within a day, probably. Where is there a place that you can't get there? You go by plane. From one continent to another, you go by plane. So Moshe doesn't have it in the sefer, but they say about there. Moshe said, even if you hold that it depends on the average travel, and the average travel today is going to go by plane, you have to limit it. You have to say it's only on the same continent. If you're going to say it goes from one continent to the other, so you've just done away with the whole institution of Makom Rachek. The whole world is a Makom Karev. So that's where Rav Moshe used to say that if the Avelim went to the burial in Arizona and they come back, they shouldn't pick up. The din of Makom Karev doesn't apply, even though they came back within a day, because it's a different continent. You have to have Godel Abayis also. Yeah, you need more details. It has to be Godel Abayis. We rarely have Godel Abayis. Usually there's no Godel Abayis.
How do you define a continent halachically? For example, North America and South America, is it one continent or is it two continents?
There's water in between.
A little bit.
So it's probably two continents.
Let's say the family's on one side and he's on the other side. He's a couple of miles away, but on two separate
continents. He sees them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's considered two separate continents.
Okay, I don't know. That's a good Shiloh. Once you'll assume like Rav Moshe, then you got a new Shiloh. What's going to be with North America or South America? I don't know. That's a good Shiloh. But from Eretz Yisrael to America, that's for sure two continents. Okay. That's what Rav Moshe said. Two different continents.
Eretz Yisrael is part of Asia.
Europe, Asia, and Africa is all one big. That's all connected. Eretz Yisrael is the central location that connects all the three. That's why there used to be Lamed Aleph Malachim. They all had a share in Eretz Yisrael. The Korban Pesach has to be dafka tzliyesh. So the Mishnah says, Msochim, if you're going to broil the Korban Pesach on a metal broiler, the metal is a conductor of heat. So the heat is going to heat up the metal, and the metal is going to be cooking the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, Msochim, you have to use a special kind of a wooden spit that the heat will not be conducted through the wood. Otherwise, it's going to be tzli machnas davarachim. After the Churban Abayis, the Mishnah records that there were two minhagim where the bedavke yeet tzli on Leil Pesach zechel amigdosh, the bedavke ironi tzli, that no one should think that the rechel kachim bachutz. So there were two minhagim. Now the common minhag is by most people that you don't eat tzli. Some people have minhag davke, they do eat tzli, but most have the minhag. Some Sephardim have, but most Ashkenazim have the minhag you don't eat davke, don't eat tzli. So that's a further question. What do you mean you don't eat tzli? It means you don't eat broiled. So you have to dafke eat something that was cooked with liquid. What if you have tzlikador? Tzlikador means you roasted it, but you didn't put in any liquid. You roasted it without any liquid. But that's not really tzli. So that's called tzlikador. So they're different minhagim. I think most have the minhag that you don't eat tzlikador. Then there's a question, what about if you're going to have smoked? Going to have smoked flesh on Pesach night.
It's like chicken, though. What about chicken or fish? Is that like a...
Even chicken, which is not really the Korban Pesach.
No, it's not.
So it says Korban Pesach has to be off the dafke merakvasim and oizim. You shouldn't have broiled chicken, right? So the meaning is you have the gedempte chicken. You have the cooked with fluid in it. That's a shaila. What about smoked flesh? There's a hot smoking and a cold smoking. So hot smoking is probably the same as a tzlikader that most have the meaning not to eat. Cold smoking, that's the question. It's treated by the smoke, but it's not really burning hot, so that's not even mevushal. It's not even mevushal.
Both nights or just the first night?
I think that both nights. Meaning is you don't have to sleep both nights.
The second night.
You do everything the second night, the same as the first night, yeah. Unfortunately, so far we don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara talks about the possibility that the last minute the Beis HaMikdash may be built and we'll have a big mad rush to figure out how to be marked with the Korbanah. So there's still a chance. He writes in that we should be Zeicher maybe this year. That our Krovus Korban Pesach. Akash and Felich and Pesach. From Tiyu. Good, Yom Tov, our name.
Working on the Shabbos Haggadah with Drasha.
Very good. Very good. Amen. Good job.
Mine also has the date, but if I